Welcome to the Two Brothers and Their Sports Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Arif.
And I'm your other co-host, Darsh.
And today on the show, we've got a more exciting episode than usual. It's Super Bowl 58 week. We're just 2 or 3 days away from Super Bowl 58 between the Kansas City Chiefs and San Francisco 49ers. That's going to be the bulk of our episode this week. We're going to be diving deep into both sides, who we think will win, and give our predictions for that matchup. And then we're going to be talking about college lacrosse, which just kicked off this past week. We're going to be looking at some of the past games and then look at the rest of the season and what college lacrosse means during this time of the year. But Arsh, let's get started with Super Bowl 58. Why don't you take us and start with who you think is going to win this Super Bowl?
Yeah, so I think there's a ton of talk going around about the defensive and offensive game, so I'm going to break that down a little. The Chiefs are they have a surprisingly good defense, and the stats don't really lie. The Chiefs have the fourth best passing defense in the NFL. The 49ers aren't too far back. They're about average, and they both have very, very good run defenses. However,
And
I
to that point, sorry, to that point, Legarius Sneed hasn't allowed a touchdown this year in pass coverage for the Chiefs.
Well, I think that might change this Super Bowl because he's going to be going up against those number one guys. So maybe
Yeah.
he might be matched up a couple times, but especially Deebo Samuel, maybe even Brandon Ayuk is so dangerous. But I think the point is that, yeah, like you're saying, they have a great pass defense. Both teams have about the same run defense. So I think both Christian McCaffrey especially is going to run for more, but I think Isaiah Pacheco is going to run well. The key stat here, Isaiah Pacheco has 7 touchdowns in his past 7 games. I think he is going to have another touchdown. He's going to have a great game. This is the reason why I told you he'd be a top, I believe, top 7 running back this year is what I said at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And he's shown that in these past 7 games. He has been so effective, and especially in the playoffs, he's finally came out and shown that he is the number one back. So I think both Christian McCaffrey and Isaiah Pacheco are going to have great days, but especially McCaffrey. McCaffrey is probably the best player on the 49ers. I think he's going to have a great game and perhaps keep the 49ers in it. He has that capability to break off those long runs. Now, going to passing, and I'll let you get to your offense after this. We'll talk about offenses. I think going to passing, Brock Purdy has been average. He's last game, I think, against the Lions, he threw one interception, one touchdown, threw for less than 300 yards. Patrick Mahomes hasn't thrown an interception since the game before the regular season ended. So he's elite. They're throwing for about the same yards, but when you don't turn the ball over a single time and there's
It's way
lead
more valuable.
is on both teams. Yeah, it's so valuable. That extra possession is so valuable, and that can change a game. So, yeah, I think the Chiefs have a small edge here because of Patrick Mahomes, but I do think Christian McCaffrey is going to be spectacular. Has he really had a bad game? Like, think about it. When is the last time that Christian McCaffrey has had a bad game? It's been a long, long time.
A
So,
bad game? I wouldn't say this year at all.
It's crazy. He's just a robot. So I'm going to go in the offensive game. I'm going to go with the Chiefs with a little edge here.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from here. I know, and there was a statistic on this. If you look across the board, the Chiefs are really at a disadvantage here. Across the board, the 49ers have a positional advantage over every single position except cornerback,
Oh,
quarterback,
whoa.
cornerback, quarterback, and tight end. You could say this year it's a tie. This
Okay,
year only.
quarterback, you're going with Mahomes.
Yeah, quarterback, I'm
Running back,
going with Mahomes.
I'm
I'm going with
McCaffrey. Tight end, I'm not gonna lie, I'm going with Kelce. Kelce has gone for over 100. He scored a
Okay,
touchdown
no,
for over 100
I agree
last
with that,
game.
but that's why
I'm
I
gonna go with
said,
him over
no,
Kittle.
that's why I said, I know he's gone for over 70 yards, I think 12 or 13 games in a row, but I still think if this year, I think George Kittle has had game-breaking ability that kind of levels that playing field, especially with Kelce not having that elite talent that he's had over the past few years. He broke his streak of 1,000 receiving yards in a season.
Well, what do you think about this game specifically? Because, yeah, I mean, I think Kelce has had a great season. I think he's still in that number one role, but I can see how you could say
Yeah.
Kittle's had a better season. But in the
Okay.
game itself, I
In
think
this okay.
Kelce's going to perform better.
In this game itself, I would say I think Kelce's gonna be called upon more, and I think that's why he will
That's definitely
perform
true.
better. But I think if you look at the positional advantage in this game, it's gonna be George Kittle. Think about it. Kelce is gonna be guarded by Fred Warner, and I know you can like it's very, very hard, almost impossible to guard Travis Kelce, which is a fact. But then on the other side, Who on the Chiefs linebackers or even a corner is gonna guard George Kittle along with Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk? Think about that for a
I think both
second.
will play well.
The Chiefs have had tons of injuries to their secondary. Their back seven this year have struggled to stay healthy. They don't have a guy that can really, really match up well against George Kittle.
I think both tight ends will play well, but I still do think, and when you look at the receiving corps, I agree with you. Like almost everywhere on the wide receiver board, it's gonna be the 49er.
Everywhere, everywhere.
But when you look at the tight ends, the fact here is like, yeah, the combination of George Kittle and the 49ers wide receivers versus Travis Kelce and the Chiefs receivers, sure, I'll give you the 49ers. But when you look at tight end versus tight end, and I'm not just going strictly off position, I think this matters in the game too, especially with all the stuff that's surrounding Travis Kelce, and then Taylor Swift, of course. I think he's gonna have a pretty big game. And
Yeah, I
that's
agree. I
gonna
think
matter. I think, yeah, maybe by like yards and stuff, it might be a little bit less than those three guys, which is pretty crazy, 3v1. But Kelce and Rashee Rice too is pretty good. Kelce's gonna have a huge game. He's gonna have over 10 catches and over 100 yards easily.
I think it's impossible for Kelce not to have a big game. Like, he's gonna be a guy that's gonna have to step up. It's gonna be have to be him. Rashee Rice is gonna have to put up over 75 yards, and Isaiah Pacheco is gonna have to run the ball hard and well. But I back to my point. I was saying the 49ers on the offensive side, if you want to give the Chiefs tight end, that's fine. And you give the Chiefs quarterback, obviously. So I think if you look at strictly offense, while Brock Purdy is great and has been in the MVP conversation up until the last few weeks of the season, I think the positional advantage you get from Mahomes, the only guy that touches the ball every single play besides the center, or when the ball's active, the only guy that touches the ball every single play is the quarterback. I think the advantage, like you talked about, that Patrick Mahomes gives you is undeniable. Brock Purdy recently has been a little bit rocky. You can't trust him
Still
to
very
keep the
good, though.
ball.
I
You
respect
can't,
it.
I know he's been good, but you can't trust Brock Purdy to keep the ball in the 49ers' hands this whole game. Like, he might have a turnover or two going, especially against this really good secondary. And when he gets off his balance and like off his game plan, it goes downhill for the 49ers. And I know Brock Purdy is a good quarterback, but Patrick Mahomes, that's not going to happen with Patrick Mahomes. We've seen what he does in the Super Bowl. He steps up, and like I said, the advantage you get at the quarterback position from Patrick Mahomes, I just think that matters more than anything else. You can give Brock Purdy all the wide receivers you want. You can give him Tyreek Hill if you want. You can give him Stephon Diggs. It doesn't matter. Patrick Mahomes is going to find a way to get his receivers open. That's just the bottom line. MVS is a game breaker down the field. Rashee Rice has stepped up. And like you said, Travis Kelce is bound to have a big day. It's not going to be a game where Travis Kelce is going to be silent. It's not going to happen. So I think if you look at offensive side, I do think you give it to the Chiefs just because of Mahomes, like you talked about. But then switching over to the defensive side of things, I think this is where the game is really could really be decided. And like they say, defense wins championships. And that may not be true all the time, but this season, I think it's going to be true a lot. The Chiefs historically have not have a de had a defense this good in the past decade. It's just a fact. They haven't had a wide receiver core this bad in the past few years, and that's also a fact. So I think
Yeah.
that the Chiefs defense is going to be a big part in this game against Brock Purdy. Now, if you look on the other side, the 49ers defense, they are better at every single position except cornerback. That you can't argue that. They're better at every single position
There's argue.
except cornerback.
There's a strong argument that there's not a single position that they lose in the positional battle. And it's not
Exactly.
always about the positional battle, even just as a team. Yeah, I give the edge to the 49ers as well on the defense.
Exactly. So if you look at the defensive side, think about it. They have so many guys that have to guard very few amounts of, like, have to guard a very few amount of receivers. Kelce, Rashee Rice, and maybe a safety and a corner, a deep floating safety in a corner on MVS. Like, that's it. If you look at the other side, I know the Chiefs have a great, great pass defense, but you're gonna have to count for Deebo Samuel. You're gonna have to count for Brandon Ayuk, because both have been top tier wide receiver ones this year. George Kittle, who, if you leave him uncovered, I'm telling you, he's gonna have a day. And then Christian McCaffrey, who is Brock Purdy's arguably favorite target this year. He's had over 500 yards in a receiving game. Just think about that for a second. That's four guys you have to guard, and you have incredible protection for Brock Purdy to deliver the ball.
The other part is, it's not always about matching up these DBs or linebackers up against these players and saying, okay, who do you have next in line? If we did that, Tyreek Hill would not have one of the greatest seasons in wide receiver history. Cooper Kupp wouldn't have had that 2 years ago. Puka Nacua would not have broken the rookie record. Neither would Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase when they had amazing rookie campaigns. Because, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, yeah, you had T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. But the point is, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen wasn't there, but Puka has had no one until Cooper Kupp came back. Cooper Kupp did not have anyone because I think Robert Woods tore his ACL that year, and Odell was shaky until the playoffs. So the point is, and Tyreek has had no one this year. Jalen Waddle has not been great. So I don't
Jalen
think.
Waddle, I don't think he even passed 1,000 yards this year.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he did, but he has not had the campaign that he had last year. You can't really match up. You can't say Travis Kelce. Fred Warner might be matched on him a couple times, but that's not really how it's going to work. Travis Kelce has these big games against these amazing defenses. He had them against Matt Milano and the Buffalo Bills. He
No,
had
I agree. I
that
agree with you.
insane secondary. So, yeah, they don't have a ton of weapons, but Rashee Rice will be good enough. Marquise Valdes-Scantling, if he gets deep, that's a touchdown because he's one of the fastest receivers in the NFL. And then Rashee Rice, still one of the best, has become one of the best route runners in his first year in the NFL. I'm not saying they're good wide receivers for the Super Bowl, but they're good enough where those guys
I
can
know.
make plays. And it's hard to say, they have four guys, we have one. How are you going to match them? It doesn't really
I yeah, I agree with that. But think about this. And I know I get what you're saying. You can't go down the board with defense Fred Warner's got Travis Kelce, DeAndre Lenoir's got Rashee Rice. I get you can't do that. But what and Travarius Ward's got someone else. But what I'm saying is, if you just look at the stats, the 49ers defense is better all around than the Chiefs defense. In general, in total, the 49ers defense is a better defense than the Chiefs defense. And if you look at this 49ers roster all around, there are not many holes. I get it. You're comparing Brock Purdy against the guy that's already in the GOAT conversation at less than 30 years old, and that's won two Super Bowls in 6 seasons. I get you can't go down the board and say, oh, he's worse than this guy. But if you look all around, the 49ers have a team that's surprisingly possible to be made under the salary cap. Just think about this for a second. They have all these guys: Christian McCaffrey, one of the best running backs ever, the best left tackle ever, a top five quarterback in the NFL right now, one of the best linebackers ever, a great secondary, one of the highest paid defensive end. Think about this. All these guys are on one roster under one salary cap in 1 year.
None of this matters, though. Look, what's the
Well,
better
to me,
defense?
I.
The Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills? It's the Buffalo Bills. But who played better? What's the better
Well,
defense?
that's what I'm
The
saying.
Cowboys
Patrick
or the
Mahomes could do.
Packers? The
That's what I'm
Cowboys
saying. Patrick Mahomes.
destroy the Packers.
No, I
Well,
understand.
that.
Patrick Mahomes. I understand. Patrick Mahomes is going to play well. But I think all around, if you look at how, if you, I've tried to predict how these teams are going to perform, I think the 49ers are going to perform better overall. I think their defense is going to make a couple key stops. And I know it's like you cannot bet against Tom Brady. You cannot bet against Patrick Mahomes. But in this case, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say the 49ers defense and offense is going to be able to do just enough to get Mahomes off his game. And maybe he's going to be a little frustrated. Maybe he's going to be a little bit distracted. Who knows? But I think this 49ers team is very, very well assembled. They have one of the best coaching staffs in the league right now. And I think that that could potentially put them over the top in the Chiefs game. So I'm going to put the 49ers with a score. I'll go 31-24. I think the 49ers win this game.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I'm not gonna say that the 49ers, and I'm gonna put it in Madden terms because that's the best way to explain their rank, or I could do it in the PFF rankings, but they have all these X factors on their defense. They have all these stars. But when it comes down to this game, when it comes down to the clutch moments, it's going to be about which guys can get the plays done, and that's based off how good they are. So yeah, Nick Bosa is going to make some of those plays. Fred Warner very well could. But you know who else is going to make key plays when the key
Patrick
plays
Mahomes.
need to be made? Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, which is why I'm gonna have to go with them in this game. I think they win 31-24. And yes, upsets always happen. And this is an insanely hard game to predict because both teams have very different strengths and they're both very, very strong. But I do think that Patrick Mahomes, however bad, however good he's been this entire year, that in the end, when it matters, him and Travis Kelce are going to have that connection and they're going to be able to be good enough to win this game. When it comes down to it, they're going to make those plays. So yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs winning this one 31-24, as I said, both teams getting touchdowns and an extra point and a field goal. And then I think that's the way that it'll work out. I think that's the way that the story ends. And Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and the Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes get their Patrick Mahomes gets his third Super Bowl here, and I think that's what's gonna happen.
Awesome. Well, let us know what you guys think down in the comments, and we'll be super interested to see what you guys think about this game. But now we'll move on to NCAA Men's Division I Lacrosse, which just started this past week. I know Arsh and I watched a ton of games, particularly the Johns Hopkins Denver game, which was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But I guess if you just look at this, if you just look at the ranking so far, Notre Dame is a consensus number one, won the NCAA tournament last year, were national championship champions with Pat Kavanaugh and that incredible team. And so I agree with that being number one. I think number two, you have Brendan O'Neal last year won the best player in the nation for lacrosse. So I think
Won the
that Duke is
MVP for
definitely in the
Team
conversation.
USA. Won when
Exactly,
players won the
exactly.
MVP.
Exactly. But I think across the board there are a ton of strong teams. Virginia could be make a case for being number
Very,
one this year.
very good.
Hopkins, guys have already come out and said on Hopkins that no one in the nation can beat them. And I think the storyline from the first game, even though they lost 13-12 in overtime, was freshman Hunter Chauvet, three goals
Yeah.
in the first a hat trick in the first half. So
The second
crazy,
game, he
crazy
also had a
performances
hat
from
trick
them.
too.
Exactly. So I think that Johns Hopkins could also be up there. Maryland could also be up there. There's a bunch of teams that have played really well, and I know a lot of teams haven't got their season started yet, including Notre Dame, Army, Cornell. But I think that there's definitely this is going to be a definitely be an exciting season. And especially with teams like Richmond and teams like Denver being performing so well early on, I think that this could be a sign of things to come for those teams. I think this is going to be a really exciting season, and I'm super excited. NCAA lacrosse is one of my favorite times of the year watching that tournament. So I think that that's kind of the way this is going to shake out. But overall, just super excited to see this get started, see the sport get restarted again this year, and hoping that Duke can make a push this year, our hometown team. So hopefully we see Brendan O'Neill kind of do some magic this year and win a national championship.
Yeah, so I'll just kick us off with the, or just talk about the kickoff of the lac season. I'm happy it's rolled back around. It feels different this year. It feels like it's garnering so much more attention, especially with the amount of different storylines, the Kavanaugh brothers, Brendan O'Neill. He played for Team USA, where they played all these different international teams, and he was the only, I believe, the only college player to be called up to Team USA. One team MVP, one, I think one tournament MVP, is that kind of player. He had a hat trick for Duke in their first game. Josh Zawada, the transfer from Michigan, look out for
Oh,
him.
from Michigan.
He
Yeah.
also had,
Crazy score.
yeah, he had 7 goals in the game, I believe, last year. It might have been 2 years ago, but I believe it
Yeah,
was
last
last
year.
year. And he was amazing for Duke. He made a strong impression. We knew that was coming. We had followed him when he was at Michigan. And he's a great lacrosse player. I think Duke's another team to look out for. I'm just really excited for this season to unfold. I think Princeton is going to be a great team this year. They had the number one recruiting class, freshman recruiting class this year. So they're
Coulter
heading.
Mackesy is on is Coulter Mackesy is on the watch for MVP this year.
Yeah.
MVP, quote unquote.
And they're heading down to North Carolina to play UNC and Duke for some big matches, which for us, just being from North Carolina, that's a big deal. So I think that'll be really cool to see those teams face off. And I can't wait for the tournament to roll around. But I think college lacrosse to me also is a different experience this year. I'm a lot more into it. This is a really great time to be watching lacrosse. There's so many great players. The Kavanaugh brothers are still both going at it in Notre Dame. They haven't declared for the draft yet. So look, I think this season is going to be a great season, and it's really exciting. And especially with lacrosse being announced to be playing in the Olympics in 2028. I just think this is great for this sport, and it's great to see these guys competing like this, and I can't wait for this season to unfold.